This podcast is meant to provide information on reproductive health. It does not establish a physician-patient relationship, and we would urge you to contact your treating provider regarding your care.
You know, I like to debunk old wives' tales, so let's talk about a few old wives' tales as it pertains to IVF. The first one is eating pineapple core. So pineapple has become the fertility fruit. And women think if they eat pineapple core, they have a better chance of the embryo sticking and having a pregnancy. And the reasoning along those lines is that the pineapple core is rich in bromelain, and bromelain is an excellent anti-inflammatory. However, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to eat an excessive amount of pineapple or pineapple cores just to get bromelain. A well-balanced diet is enough. And I'm also here to tell you, eating an excessive amount of pineapple core does not guarantee you that the pregnancy, that you will get pregnant and that it will result in a live birth. So you don't have to go eat a ton of pineapple. The second myth that I hear a lot is McDonald's french fries. And I will tell you, McDonald's french fries are really good. There's something special they put in those french fries. And I think this came along, the reasoning behind the McDonald's french fries was to get more salt into your system to help with fluid retention. So let me explain. Remember how I said back in the old days, we did fresh transfers and the women did not have time for their bodies to recover from the excessive hormonal environment from stimulatory medications. Well, that excessive hormonal environment from stimulatory medications in some women with good egg reserve or who responded very well to the injections or who were pregnant with one or more fetus at a time, they could end up with ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome. So let's talk about ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome here for a second. OHSS, ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome, is when there's fluid that's being pulled out of your vascular system and we third space it, meaning you develop fluid in your belly around your intestines, or you develop fluid in the lower borders of your lungs in the pleural space. So it's called third spacing of fluid. So ascites, sometimes you hear people utilize that term for older folks who have liver disease where they have fluid in their belly. And again, I've been doing this for two decades. I've had to literally go in with a needle and drain fluid out of women's bellies back in the old days. Today, almost no one ends up with ovarian hyperstimulation because we have different drugs, we have different ways of triggering the ovulation, and because we give women a few weeks to rest after the stimulation, so after she's taken all those hormones, we give her body some time to recover before the transfer, it is incredibly rare today to see ovarian hyperstimulation. Now, the reason people came up with the McDonald's french fries, my theory is they were utilizing the McDonald's french fries for the salt intake. So in the old days, when women had ovarian hyperstimulation, we would have to remove fluid out of her belly, but in her vascular system, within her blood vessels, she was actually very dehydrated. And so she would need to drink lots of fluids, electrolyte-enriched fluids, as well as increase her salt intake. Saltine crackers was one of the things I utilized so much at that point in time. By taking in salt intake and by drinking electrolyte-rich fluids, her vascular system can then rehydrate, so it pull fluid back into her vascular system. So that's where the McDonald's french fries came along, was for the salt intake. You can still eat McDonald's french fries, but I will tell you, it's not the reason why you did or did not get pregnant with your IVF cycle. Another old wives' tale is the Brazil nuts. And the theory behind the Brazil nuts is that Brazil nuts are rich in selenium, and selenium is an excellent antioxidant. Well, also there's something called selenium toxicity. So I don't want you eating a ton of Brazil nuts. And at most, maybe two a day. But honestly, regardless of whether you ate Brazil nuts or not, it would not influence whether you got pregnant or not. So you should not beat yourself up that you ate too much or didn't eat any Brazil nuts, because that did not influence whether you were pregnant or not with your IVF cycle. A diet in moderation is just enough. Another myth I'm here to debunk about IVF is wearing my lucky socks or lucky underwear. Or I have some patients that will go and design these beautiful t-shirts and wear their lucky t-shirts for the embryo transfer. And I will tell you, I love those t-shirts. I usually want to take a picture with those patients in their t-shirts because I love the creativity of the t-shirts. But it's just like you wear your lucky shirt or your lucky underwear or your lucky socks to the football game. Whether or not your special team won or lost a game had nothing to do with the fact that you wore or did not wear your lucky shirt. And it's the same thing for IVF. So don't beat yourself up if you didn't wear your lucky shirt or lucky underwear or lucky socks, because your success rate did not depend on you wearing a certain piece of clothing. But if you still want to create nice t-shirts and show up to your embryo transfer with your lovely t-shirts, I love those t-shirts. I enjoy the creativity, and I will certainly want to take a picture with you in your lucky t-shirt, because it shows how much you care and how much effort you've put into this and your positivity and your hopefulness. So go ahead and create those t-shirts, but don't beat yourself up if you didn't wear a special t-shirt, a special sock, special underwear, because it's not going to make a big difference whether you got pregnant or not. If it's going to work, it's going to work because of the science, not because you did or did not do something. Another myth I want to debunk is, how much rest should I have after my embryo transfer? Some people believe after their embryo transfer, they should be on bed rest for 4 hours, for 2 days. And sometimes you can say, tell your husbands, your doctor said that you can't get out of bed for like 9 months and you can't do any housework or any cooking because the baby needs to just grow. And that's okay. But I'm here to tell you that you don't have to rest for any extended amount of time after your embryo transfer or after an IUI. So when I do the embryo transfer, I'm putting the embryo directly into the uterus. You coughing, sneezing, doesn't hurt. The embryo is there. It's in a small droplet of fluid and it's in the uterus. We ask you to come to the embryo transfer with a full bladder. And I'm okay if you want to go empty your bladder immediately after I've done the transfer. The embryo is not going to fall out when you go urinate. So resting or doing certain positions or thinking you've done something wrong after a transfer, after an IUI, is not the case. If the IUI or the embryo transfer was going to work, it will work because of the science, not because you did or did not do something. Thank you for joining me today and listening to the various forms of fertility treatments. I know I put a lot of science into this episode, and hopefully I was able to explain it to you that you will be able to understand and then take that information back to your doctor and say, hey, which treatment option is right for me, and help me understand what works best for me. If you enjoyed this information today, please like, follow, and subscribe to my podcast, and listen to the next episode wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Pioneer.